Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Hey, before we get the show started, I wanted to let you know we are giving away a bunch of brand new Black Magic gear.
Yeah, cameras, switchers, DaVinci Resolve licenses, a bunch of awesome stuff. So stay tuned to learn how you can enter to win free gear from Black Magic, and we're going to tell you all about it later on in this episode. Now cue the music. Hey, welcome to the 165th episode of Just Shoot It, a podcast about filmmaking, screenwriting, and directing. This episode is brought to you by patrons Pablo Gallo and Paul Kim. I'm Oren Kaplan.
And I'm Matt Enloe. Today we have Chrissy Fiorelli and Amanda Linker-Doyle. Together they are DF Casting, a casting duo I've worked with for a long time, and they're here to talk to us about all things casting. How to, as a director, to work with them, some war stories from the trenches, and how to, or not to, attach that mega movie star to your micro budget feature. I think it's a really good conversation. It's really frank. They're so knowledgeable and so passionate about casting. It's really just reinvigorating to have a conversation like that, just to be reminded that, oh, people are so talented and skilled at a thing that's one of the most important early steps in creating your film.
Yeah, and getting and even in figuring out the tone of your project has so much to do with casting.
Yeah.
And speaking of like real interesting tones, you got to watch at least the first episode. It's free, of this show called Wayne that Chrissy and Amanda cast. It is produced by the guys that did Deadpool. It is so interesting and unique and good. It's kind of like Scott Pilgrim meets John Wick. It's a dark, dark comedy. It actually really reminds me of this Netflix show called The End of the Fucking World. Have you seen that?
Yeah. Yeah. Really kind of like a broody look at youth and violence and things. It's pretty great, but it's on it's a YouTube original, so you can get the first episode for free on youtube.com. just look for Wayne.
Yeah, and I would say, even if I didn't know that they cast it, if I watched that show, I would be like, wow, the casting.
Yeah.
It's like the looks, the people, that everyone's so talented. It's great. Check it out.
And that's just the tip of the iceberg of the conversation that we have with Chrissy and Amanda. So if you want to learn how to make your movies better through casting, our conversation with them is really going to help you out.
Yeah.
We should talk about our Patreon, patreon.com/justshootitpod, where you can contribute to the show a little bit, throw us a buck, throw us four. You know, it's kind of like the equivalent of buying us a coffee in exchange for just helping us make this show even better. It goes towards paying our editor, Jay. And now we have hats. So at the $10 level, if you contribute $10 a month, we'll send you a Just Shoot It hat. Yeah. Is that at a small loss to us? Yes, it is.
This is so NPR right now.
But also, we think hats are cool, and I really can't wait to see people sending us selfies of them in the hat.
Yes. Okay, cool. Well, let's get into it. Chrissy, Amanda, teach us how to cast. Hey everyone, we're taking a quick break to talk about Plot Devices, our sponsor for the show, and we have one of the co-founders, Seth Worley, sitting here with us. So Seth, one of the tools you make helps directors storyboard. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, we just made a storyboard notebook. I felt like there was a severe shortage of storyboard notebooks out there, especially ones that were non-intimidating and unassuming for directors like me who cannot draw. I learned a while ago that storyboards are a lot like swimsuits. Everyone is insecure about theirs, but when you see other people wearing theirs, you're like, oh cool, that person is also swimming. Like, nobody cares. We're just here to swim. And storyboards are the same way, in that the point of drawing storyboards is to flesh out your vision and also to help you communicate it to others. And even if what you've drawn makes absolute no visual sense whatsoever, at the very least, it communicates to your crew, you've got a vision, you're going somewhere, you can somewhat be trusted. But for you personally, it gives you the peace of mind knowing that you've got the sequence shot it out. Even though you will not shoot it, you will shoot three of those shots because it will rain and people will be dying by lunch. And my sets are pretty dire.
And what aspect ratio are these storyboard frames in?
They're in 16:9 with 235 guides as well.
Nice. If you want to find out more about the storyboard notebook or any of the other products that Plot Devices has to help you create your stories, check out plotdevices.co.
This episode, we're giving away the storyboard notebook and a filmmaker pin 3-pack.
If you want a chance to win a free storyboard notebook, go to Twitter right now and tell us what one of your favorite shots in cinema is. For me, a shot I really liked recently is the one in Roma, the opening shot. It's so simple, but if you think about it, it must have taken so much planning. It's insane. Anyway, go to Twitter right now, tag PlotDevicesCO, and tell us what your favorite cinema shot is for a chance to win your free storyboard notebook.
Chrissy and Amanda, DF Casting. Welcome to the podcast, guys.
Thank you so much. We're so glad to be here.
Yes.
I have known you guys for a pretty long time. Chrissy, a little bit longer, because you were casting at College Humor back when I first started there.
Yes.
But I realized I don't know how you two came to be a duo.
So we came to be a duo also through College Humor.
Is that right?
Oh. Well, ish. Like, I was working there. And when I first started there, we got 6 weeks of vacation a year, which was amazing. And
is that a lot? I don't know.
Yes,
I guess so.
Because normally it's just two.
Oh,
And so every couple of months, you get 2 weeks off. And then during one of those hiatuses, a job came through that, and I was going on vacation. And I said to Spencer, like, I'm not going to work over this vacation. He said, okay, we'll just have someone cover for you. So I posted on Facebook or something, and Amanda sent in her resume and brought her in to talk to her. And we just really hit it off.
I sat down at her in her office and I was like, is that Tate Ellington? And she was like, yeah. And I was like, oh my God, I love him.
There's a picture on my desk.
And she was like, me too. I'm married to him. And I was like, oh my God.
and so that's how we met. And then we kept in touch. She ended up covering me on that commercial or something random.
Yeah.
And we kept in touch with each other, became Facebook friends. And then when my husband shot a show out of town in Montreal, and we had to live there for a while and a couple of, you know.
Was it Quantico?
It was.
Oh, cool.
Yes.
I watched that show.
Oh, there you go. So we were living in Montreal for a little bit. And whenever people would approach me about projects that I couldn't do because we were living out of the country, I would say, oh, you know, reach out to my friend Amanda. And we just couldn't get together as friends because I was out of the country. Then when it came back, she was like, let's go have lunch.
So I worked I started in commercial casting like 13 years ago. And then when the economy collapsed in 2008, my commercial casting director that I was working for and running her studio was like, hey, do you want to take an internship with Bialy Thomas and Associates? Sharon Bialy used to be my assistant back in the day.
Oh, whoa. Awesome.
And so I was like, yeah.
And they're a very big deal.
They're a very big office.
Yeah.
Especially today. Yeah.
Breaking Bad.
So
Barry
today, yes. They're amazing. So I went and interned for them, and then they hired me for pilot season. And that pilot season, we did the first six of The Walking Dead, and we were doing Lie to Me and a pilot for ABC called Detroit 187. It was literal, like, baptism by fire for me because I had come from the commercial space. So it was amazing, and Russell and Gohar are still there today. And
I'm actually really curious why theatrical casting is so different than commercial casting.
Well, it's a different pool of actors, kind of. There's a little bit of blend, but for the most part, it's a different pool of actors.
Well, it's a different pool of actors, and it's just a completely different process.
Yeah.
The timeline and, you know, having someone who can carry a commercial versus someone who can carry a series is, or even an episode, is like...
A different
skill set.
So I finished once that they kind of slowed down a little bit. I went and started working with Alexis Kazera and Christine Shevchenko, and I was in their office for almost 7 years. And at the end of my time with them, Chrissy and I met up, and when she had gotten back from Montreal, and I was like, I think it's time to, like, you know, jump.
I want to go out. I want to, you know, go out on my own, but I don't want to be by myself.
No, I don't want to be by myself ever.
And would you want a partner? And I was like, oh, cool. Okay, sure. And so we did.
It was super casual. And yeah. Then like the next day we like made some business cards and like a website and we were like, all right, here we go.
Yeah. Just like pulled out the Amex and got a Squarespace. Yeah. and a Gmail account that we share.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah. Something I think about a lot is like when someone offers me a job that I can't do, like there's always this like slight fear that if you like recommend someone else, they'll be like their new person.
Yeah.
Scary, and I know in casting that happens probably a lot.
Yeah. Well, we, you know, we've been really lucky that since we've been working together, we've been very busy. And a lot of the people that I, you know, am friends with and friendly with in like the comedy space aren't necessarily the same people that Amanda had been working with. Mm-hmm. And so it's been really nice to like, you know, both pull from our relationships and work on projects together and then have some new relationships too.
Yeah.
But yeah. When we both just had babies this past year and that was certainly like a little nerve wracking, like when
it was,
you know, like right after having the kids and people were like, oh, are you available to do something? We were like,
we took a meeting on a big pilot.
Oh yeah.
When I was 37 weeks pregnant and Chrissy was 7 days postpartum and Tate sat in the car in the parking lot with their 7 day old baby. And I was super pregnant and there
and
was three women.
You just had no idea.
I know. And I had her like a week later.
Yeah.
And it was three women who we were meeting with and they had all had babies and they were just looking at us like, girl.
To be clear, they were looking at you.
I know, like, not you.
You were crazy.
Yeah, they thought I was nuts. Yeah. and they were very kind and very, you know, obviously I think they were like, we're going to help you help yourself here.
Yeah.
You know,
we're going with someone else.
Yeah.
You don't want this pilot.
But that is part of like, because I actually worked with, I think twice I worked with a casting director team and they, like two different women twice, and they all had kids and it seemed like they really covered for each other a lot.
Yeah. In a good way. And like, if we had had the babies at a different time, like from each other, then we would have done that. But we had them 2 weeks apart. So,
so she tells me in January, she was like, I have to tell you something. I'm pregnant. I was like, oh my God. And then like not a week later, I think, I was like, Chrissy, I feel like shit. And she was like, you're going to be pregnant.
Oh no, it's you too.
Yeah.
I want to just go back for a second to the commercials versus like television versus like a web show versus a, what else is there? Movies.
Yeah.
Because I
like
guess,
that was your last one.
Do people watch movies? I guess as a director, obviously, in a commercial, sometimes there's like no dialogue and you have to have someone come in and you just like interview them to get a sense of their personality or something to do with them.
Yeah.
It's hard. But in general, if you had like, I guess, do you, Matt, approach commercial auditions significantly differently than like if you were doing a web show or a TV episode?
Yeah, I mean, I think
something?
Certainly it's much more look and take based in a commercial, right? And I think maybe unfortunately, also like their ability to like throw a tag on something, you know, too often if you're bored in the casting office or like stressed about how you're not finding someone and then someone walks in after you've heard it 50 times already and throws like a new spin on it, whether that's a joke that they wrote themselves or just like something out there, anything to kind of shake you out of that like anxiety coma, I think is going to be a thing that's,
but I've seen that, you know, in like theatrical auditions also.
Yeah,
but you have more to chew on though. Do you know what I mean? It's like oftentimes if it's a commercial, you know, there's maybe a couple lines.
Well, and commercials are not necessarily about who the best actor is, but who the person is who will best sell the product. Mm-hmm. And it's also a volume thing because you want to see as many people as possible to give as many choices as possible to
that's
the
your
director.
Expectation these days,
Right. To everybody who's involved, because there's like, then you guys are all dealing with like the client and the agency and all of that stuff. There was a commercial that I was working on once for some airline or something, and the director was somebody who's a big deal, I can't remember. And and
Spielberg,
he
big deal.
Like, had like a vision,
Vince P.O.
a real artist, something. and he was like, no, like I need someone who is like ethnically ambiguous, who can do extreme sports, who is also a poet and an artist, mm-hmm. and is maybe like a pro skater on the side, and reads books and is well traveled, mm-hmm. and you know, all the people that we're seeing just aren't right.
Does he just mean very pretty?
Yes. And I was like, okay, so you want a unicorn. Great. So I called people in and I was literally feeding them answers off camera. Like I would pause it, mm-hmm. And I'd say, okay, next I'm going to ask you who your favorite poet is. And they were like, okay. And one guy was like, yeah, I really like Shel Silverstein. I was like, no, you can't. You can't say that. No.
I think that's an okay answer if you actually know poetry. Right. You know, like if he's like so well read, and this is like also Shel Silverstein, no jokes.
Yeah,
favorite,
no.
That's okay. But
no, none of these people had read anything. Yeah.
Shel Silverstein wrote the lyrics to A Boy Named Sue, the Johnny Cash song.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't think I knew that. Yeah, but. I don't know. Just anyway, that was it was so frustrating. And I had a friend of mine come in who's now like an actress in lots of things. And I wonder if these guys realize it. And like had her like interact with them and stuff. Mm-hmm. And it was just, oh gosh, just trying to make everybody
happy. I've planted my actor friends in real people castings before.
Oh yeah.
For commercial. Yeah. For sure.
And they book it.
Yeah. Yeah. And they're none the wiser. I'm like, by the way, like they're real people too.
Right.
They just happen to not be like complete idiots in front of the camera.
Sure.
Well, you know, from our point of view, like every time we're interacting with an agency on anything, they're always like, we just want people to be themselves, to be real. We don't want it to be actors. It shouldn't be actory. They shouldn't be like, it shouldn't feel scripted. And then we're like, okay, it's going to suck.
Right. Fine. But yeah. But in regard to like the client, like, there's always somebody whose job it is to say no. So sometimes we have to be strategic in our presentation.
Sure.
In an effort to like counter that.
No matter the type of project it is, exactly. Whether it's commercial or, you know, TV or mm-hmm. a film or anything.
Sometimes we present that person as the second choice just because we know.
Yeah.
You know.
Say it
one time.
Well, no. We always say that. I've said this for a long time, like the woman, like that from like My Big Fat Greek Wedding, like mm-hmm. the woman is the neck and she can turn
if the man
head.
Is the head, then the woman is the neck, yeah.
But oftentimes we find, especially when we're dealing with men, not to be like that, but particularly if we give them our first choice, mm-hmm. they go with the other person. Mm-hmm. So
yeah.
Unless we're really on the same team and we're really close with them and they're genuinely asking for our opinion. Right. So we have to kind of be, if there's someone we're really passionate about, we have to be a little bit strategic.
And some of that is just like game theory too, I think, sure. of like, you know, people wanting like to pick.
Mm-hmm. Well, then I always say too, like, I think the lack of recognition for the craft overall is because essentially our job is to make you believe that it was your choice.
Sure.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. 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 Without a doubt.
Yeah, I've worked with a lot of different casting directors, and I love it when, like, a casting director is like, hey, this person, like, I've cast them 5 times before, and every time the feedback was, like, amazing.
Well, that's trust and recognizing that they obviously have a history with these people, mm-hmm. and they know what they're capable of, et cetera, which is, you know.
Or even this last, the Country Time thing I did, like there was an actor that came in and I was like, the casting director asked me what I thought of him. It's like, yeah, he wasn't that great. And she was like, really? He's usually like really amazing and really great. And so I was like, well, I guess we can call him back then.
Yeah. I want to, if someone is like, hey, this person's really great and they just had an off day, I definitely want to know that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or like watch something else that we have on tape before that he mm-hmm. read like a long mm-hmm. time ago, just in an effort to see him do something else. And you know, some people are really good auditioners and some people are terrible auditioners,
sure.
but they're amazing actors. So what you see in that moment might not be the best right. reflection of like what they can do.
Well, something else you said that kind of is related to that, that I find interesting is you've said that it's like a different pool of people that you're bringing in for commercials and for theatrical. And obviously, I'm sure any actor that's listening to this, probably including my wife, would be like, well, that's frustrating, you know, because like you mm-hmm. book so many commercials, but like you can't get into a theatrical room or vice versa. I have a lot of friends that like do TV and they're like, yeah, I just cannot book a commercial.
It's weird. Like, I feel like in LA in particular, you get like pigeonholed really quickly and it's crazy to me because when I was in New York, like, it's a smaller group of people. And so that same group of people does everything. You know, they're like in a play and in a commercial. And, you know, there's just a lot of overlap and like sharing and stuff. But out here, even though I feel like in LA, like people are more open to things, like when it comes to actors, they're a little, it's a little more like linear or just in the business in general. It's like, oh, okay, you've directed comedy videos.
Sure.
Great. So you're the comedy video guy.
Well, it applies to us too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know?
Right.
Like I was saying today, I was like, this is a really hard role. This is a really complex role. And it's a 20-year-old guy. And there's physical comedy. And there's, you know, you have to be able to navigate the comedic beats. And it's really difficult. And I was like, this is so much harder than I think casting a drama. But no one would hire us to cast a drama. No one would hire us to cast a procedural or a period drama.
That's
not where we come from.
Because I watched, unfortunately, not enough of, but watched Wayne, your new YouTube show.
Yeah. I watched the first one.
I started. Which I was like, oh,
the
this
casting
is awesome.
Was insane.
Yeah.
Oh, and of course, Mayhem, commercial guy.
Yeah.
Now
yeah.
I know he's really like more of a TV guy.
Yeah. Dean Winters. Yeah. Yeah.
But you know, he's the Mayhem in the commercial world. Yes. He's very famous.
Yes. Oh, right. Right.
Yeah. Mayhem.
Sure.
Yeah, Wayne.
But that I would not describe unless it has a real tonal shift after a minute 11 or whatever. It's not a straight comedy by any means.
No,
that's a dark comedy.
So we were really excited for that one.
Yes.
Because we were like,
it's really dark.
This is what we...
It's like a half-hour drama.
Yeah.
It reminds me of,
I wouldn't even say dark comedy from what I can tell, you know.
With some jokes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a drama with some jokes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like a highly stylized, drama, right?
Yeah. John Wick meets John Hughes.
Yeah.
Is one of the lines.
Or even like John Wick meets like Scott Pilgrim or something, right?
Yeah.
It almost feels like...
Yeah, there's some pizzazz to it for sure.
And there's like a retro... overtones, you know?
Yeah, and it's set in the present day, but like people aren't, you know, staring at their smartphones the whole time or anything like that.
Right.
Kids listen to music with guitars also, which I found old fashioned.
Yeah, that show is so unique, and we, you know, we look forward to people who have seen it like hiring us for other things like in that realm.
Sure.
You know?
Was that cast out of LA?
LA and Toronto.
Yeah, the mix of looks, like his best friend in high school and the girl with like the brace
Orlando,
and like even those three kids that are laughing at him in the beginning, and the guy that comes out, the
three kids, I was like, oh, nice looks across the board.
The best friend, he's from Louisiana?
New Orleans,
yeah.
Right?
Yep. And
Joshua Williams.
Yeah, and he's terrific, and he went on tape, and as soon as we saw his tape, we're like, hire him. Hire him yesterday.
Had he only done like Mudbound? Is that right?
Yeah, he had like a small part in Mudbound. And,
film.
I know. Yeah, right. And a couple other small things, you know, but yeah, he's great. And then Sierra, who plays...
That's the small market dream.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Like you get cast because you're a local hire and also great.
Mm-hmm.
And but then you're discovered and then you get to, you know.
And then Sierra, who plays Dell,
she's awesome.
She's been working for a long time and been doing like a lot of like, she did Red Band Society for Fox, which was a drama. Mm-hmm. And then a lot of like Disney-ish shows. So this is a huge departure for her, but she came in and just slayed it. Like Amanda stood up and gave a standing ovation.
Very inappropriately.
Literally.
Did you really?
Yes.
I couldn't help myself.
Well, so here's the thing. You have to cast her then, right?
Right. Well, no. But, you know.
She's going to go home and tell everybody like, hey.
She did a standing
good job.
Up.
Yeah, she but like, great. You know, it was, that was a hard, those were hard parts too.
I mean, really hard.
They're these kids from Brockton, Massachusetts, which is really specific in regard to dialect and tone, and we were encountering a lot of kids that were like grew up here and were very like California, like never, what did you always say,
never opened a pasta jar on their own,
hadn't done anything.
Yeah.
And this is a shit kicker who his dad dies and he sets his house on fire and he goes to get this car that, like, you know what I mean, and he's just got this shit life, and so you have to really feel for him. So it was really hard, and for her, I mean, that was like our second session of Dell, right? Like,
yeah.
She just like came in and she did she's like, this is an accent that I used to just like fuck around with my friends with and do. And so I was like, I feel like it's kind of appropriate. And I was like, you're good at it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
you know, some of the girls didn't even do an accent, and you just needed it. You needed it to like feel authentic.
Well, and then to find our Wayne was a whole crazy process. Sure. We read something like, we read or watched tape of like 1,000 kids, and we started in LA and New York and then the Southeast and then like the Canada. Rest of the country, then Canada, then because the original vision of the role was a little different and we just weren't really finding it. There was like one kid out of New York that they liked a little.
What do you mean by different? Like age, ethnicity?
Type.
Well, to back up a little bit, we when we met on it, we had worked with two of the five producers, but we had to meet Sean, the creator, and I don't think we met Rhett and Paul until we were hired. But but when we went to meet with Sean, we knew we were meeting against some really high profile, amazing casting directors. And we were like, oh shit, we're never going to get this.
It's a relatively small pool, right? Like, you know, the competition.
Usually. Yeah. I mean, sometimes we aren't privy to that, but sometimes like we'll hear through the grapevine, like who else is meeting on it. So anyways, we were like, well, we better like really bring our A game. So we like did arts and crafts and made a big giant binder of like, basically like mood boards for like the different roles and like what we thought it was going to look like.
Pictures of DJ Qualls.
Yeah.
Like the look inspiration. Yeah.
Exactly.
Kind of. No. Yeah. But yeah. And then we really like sold it hard and Sean, God bless him.
Yeah.
Gave us a chance. And, in our pitch book I had just seen a screener of Sing Street. Mark McKenna was one of the supporting leads in that movie. And I was like, I think there's something really special about him. So we put him in the book. He's Irish. They're all Irish. So we, at the beginning of the process, when we got hired, we put out a self-tape request. And then we go for him and we like waited for it for 3 weeks. And in the meantime, we read 1,000 kids and then decided we needed to hop across the pond and start reading other kids over there
in England, Ireland,
UK. Because too, if you think about the locate, like geographically where Boston, Brockton, like where that is, like they came overseas. And so the accent's kind of...
not that much of a departure.
Right, yeah, like the Irish, they could do
Boston,
it.
Yeah, Celtics.
Right. Right. Yep. Yeah.
So we're waiting for Mark's tape and we're reading a bunch of kids over there too.
Well, and because there's a big time difference between here and the UK, we were like, I was emailing, agencies in the UK, but like giant CCs to anyone who had an email address at all these big agencies at
Troika.
In
Independent,
London, you know. And so it's basically like I was just blind emailing all of CAA.
Right, hi, I'm Chrissy.
They don't have the same system that we do.
Right. Well, and you don't have the same network either. It's not like you get to know those people over the years.
Exactly.
You know?
So I was emailing and was like, hello, we are Chrissy and Amanda and we are casting a television show. It's a real show. It has real money.
And the director was already attached, like the Deadpool guy?
They were EPs. Yes.
And the director, Ian.
Came on later.
Came on a little later, yeah. Basically emailing all of CAA and being like, hello, I'm a casting director and this is a real project. write me back if you have anybody.
Write me back.
Did you say it's for YouTube or did you leave that part out?
No. We said it's for YouTube Premium.
Because that could be complicating.
Yeah, right. You know. But it's a TV show with real TV rates, specifying all of that. Not just like a guy with a selfie stick.
Yeah, are there residuals?
There are, but in a different way.
Like if it gets resold somewhere else?
If it's on for a certain amount of time, I think, right?
It's on the high budget SVOD contract, basically it's the standard television agreement. Yeah.
Oh, cool. Residual checks have come to our house for things that are
on. Oh, that's great. Yeah. Like,
for Tate, not for VOD. Not for us. To be clear.
I wish.
Casting directors don't get residuals?
No.
Don't you take a percentage of every actor you cast?
No.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
No.
Idea.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Dang. So Mark's tape came in and he was great, but he needed a couple of notes, so we had him retape. And then...
can you tell me what he did that nobody else did?
To go back a little bit, Sean had this really specific vision of what he wanted.
And this is the showrunner and creator?
The creator. And we tried it with this one kid that he was like, this is the kid. And we were like, okay. And he just... This kid just wasn't doing it, and we tried again, and we tried again, and we tried again.
Great actor, but such a good actor. For this particular role,
just wasn't right. Wasn't
there. Do you ever think to yourself like that? It's the script.
No, no, because
not in this case.
No, it's just sometimes you're just not right, mm-hmm. you know. And there's nothing super specifically to point at. It's just you're not right.
Yes, sometimes you're just not right. I think that there are times when something is really specific mm-hmm. and no one is willing to deviate from that, that like, you know, the equivalent of that that commercial where I made people lie about liking E.E. Cummings, you know, that, you know, if you write something so super specific, like a model who's an opera singer mm-hmm. and she's like great half Chinese, half Native American, and
but
yeah,
you're not willing to go,
and she's like also like
South Korean, only Chinese
calligrapher,
right.
And then it turns out that the actress that they had in mind is already on another show. She's mm-hmm. already doing calligraphy and right. but opera singer and right. all of those things, you know. So that can be a little
challenging.
Well, so I wanted to ask, just in terms of like your interactions with directors, mm-hmm. like what can you talk about some things that, like what makes a director good at casting something, and then something that makes them like not so good?
Well, I think that something that always helps us is when you have like a couple of prototypes in mind, mm-hmm. So that there's like a starting point for us, because
And by prototypes, you mean characters or actors? Or either?
Either. You know, if it's like, here's Sally and she's 20 years old. And then we're like, okay. Thanks. You know? But if, which like maybe for a co-star or something or a smaller role, like you don't have to.
But you read the script.
Kate
right?
Winslet. Yeah. But sometimes in the script, there's not even anything that describes a character.
So we're just left like guessing what's in your head, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. And so so if you're like, oh, Sally is like a, yeah, like.
She's like a Lizzie female Kaplan. T.J. Miller.
Lizzie Kaplan. Yeah, yeah. Or like, you know, just anybody. If you just,
a Schumer.
Aubrey Plaza. So, yes.
Let me
Aubrey,
ask whatever. That. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So yeah. So say you say Lizzie Kaplan and Aubrey Plaza, right? Are you then like, oh, does he mean or she mean brunette? Do you know what I mean, though?
Well, right?
Or do you just mean snarky and sarcastic, or like
tone? It's yeah. usually tone in regard thing, to tone.
Usually, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Not always a look thing too, but you know, yeah, you look for both.
But is like, it annoying when you get your 100th Aubrey Plaza in a row?
The other thing is that when we ask for that, then the bars kind of set. And like there are some people that speak to that, but then there are like when you're really specific, if you're really specific and you can't get away from, you can't come out of that, then it's like, well, Aubrey Plaza is Aubrey Plaza is Aubrey Plaza. Like there's, what do we do? You know? Mm-hmm, so you right. we have to figure out how to navigate that with them so that it's, yes, this is specifically a prototype because Aubrey Plaza is not going to do this or she's not available or whatever.
Right.
Or maybe she will do it because they've got the money.
A billion
and she's
dollars.
Available.
Because yeah, my wife's gone in for like an Aubrey Plaza type, and like literally we were like watching Aubrey Plaza videos, you know, and they were like, no, not in The Office. Watch her in like Ingrid Goes What, you know, like,
right.
Yeah, yeah.
It's
yeah.
just like so yeah. weird. You're like chasing
a performance.
Your wife is
good at frowning. So like, so like a funny frown. Like, that's great.
How's yeah. her vocal fry? It.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah. I mean, she's that's got bangs.
Yeah. yeah. She has because, two eyes.
Well, yeah. like everyone's different. So it's yeah. like, you know, you say Aubrey Plaza and then, or Aubrey Plaza type, and then somebody, a different human being comes in.
Right.
So you have to wrap
right.
your head around that.
Right. I mean, I think that, yeah, like, well, I think it's helpful to have, you know, just like an idea of what you want or what you like or what you respond to. Mm-hmm. And then we'll show you versions of that. Like some on the nose and some a little left of center and yep. some a little right of center.
I guess I'm curious mostly, at least for me personally, oh, like yeah. in the room, like in the audition room, because that's when we had our panel of directors talking about casting. It was a lot of it was about how, especially in commercials, because you have an agency and you have creative, you have other people watching you, the director, audition actors. And like you said, it's a volume game, right? So you might be seeing like 60 actors in a day.
Yeah.
And as the director, you're like, nervous that they think you're not directing the performance well, or that you keep giving the same direction over and over.
Oh, I've never thought about.
So it's like stressful as a director.
We've said this to other casting directors before, and everyone's like, "What are you talking about? You're nervous." We are so not so nervous, but it is very stressful for us, specifically in commercials in particular.
Yeah, we have to fight so hard for the job, and it's so much harder. I think
you have to fight so hard for the job.
Yeah.
People don't just fight call so us. Hard for the job.
Yeah, but people don't call us and say like, "Hey, do you want to direct this commercial?" It's like you're
really.
No.
Yeah, they have to.
No. Have you listened to the podcast?
Yeah.
No, but like people don't call us either. You know.
Well, I imagine
we're all fighting.
Yeah.
I imagine that's so interesting. Call you, like I work with the same casting directors a lot. Like I imagine if a director that works with you a lot that likes you, like has a job,
you just get the call. Yeah.
Yeah. It's different for maybe a TV network.
If we're talking about commercials, like that sometimes directors are in-house at different places, right? So if like you're doing like a Pretty Bird commercial, like they've got their group of directors and
you will oftentimes, it's rare that I get asked who I want my casting director to be.
Oh, that's really? True.
Yeah.
I feel like
I mean,
70% of the time I get to pick, but it's one of the things like as soon as I get the job, I say like,
you
DP,
have to,
production
you have to
designer,
be like,
casting director.
Yeah, you have to throw your chips down immediately. Like, hey, these are the people I want. Like, don't. And oftentimes, they're already hired. You know, it's like a very weird situation.
Yeah. It depends when you get hired.
Commercially, yes.
Yeah, but I'm talking about you guys, though.
Yeah, we are all triple bid. So, like, literally, we will submit like a very elaborate document. We will have one, if not two or three, like dog and pony show, like pitch meetings where we talk about how much we love.
Yeah, but just to get to that point,
Cheetos or whatever,
it's really hard. Like, an agency has boards, right, for their commercial. They look at like 100 reels of directors, and those directors are all at production companies. So they have to like the production company. Like they have, and not everyone is Pretty Bird or Hungry Man. You know, some people are companies you haven't quite heard of. That often.
George Commercial Company.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They're pretty good, actually. and then you're competing, right? And then you're trying to send the exact right reel. Yeah. Right. And then they usually have like a list of three. And not only is it the director, but also the bid and the production company.
Right.
And
so you could even be the person who does the best at the pitch. But like if the production company comes in too high and they get underbid by somebody else, you just lose it.
Right.
Yeah. And then I'll make like a 30-page document, to try to get the job. And then and we hire graphic designers.
Lauren will show you the documents. He's really proud of all.
I mean, we've seen them.
See them.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Yeah.
But right. I guess
have the job when you make that. So we make them and then don't get the job.
Yeah. Right. For every board that you see, there are two other boards that are decks that are probably as good, give or take.
Right.
For people who just didn't get the job.
It's all stressful. What are we doing?
Yeah. So especially if it's your first time with an agency,
that's the thing.
You want them to think they made the right choice,
right?
Because they wanted to hire their nephew, but someone convinced them that you had
Matt
this one
Pollack
idea.
Was busy, so they called them.
But so then once you're in the room, for me, and I'm sure for everyone, right, for Matt too, like probably the first time you've ever met these people that you've had all these conference calls with in person is at the audition, right? Because they come in for the callbacks.
Yeah, like literally that's the first
time. I guess I've never thought about those dynamics because we're sitting there sweating about our own shit. I guess the lesson here is that everyone's just freaking out.
Going like,
the actors, they're not worried though. The actors aren't worried.
The actors are fine. Yeah.
Can I tell you, I did this commercial and the client was there and he was from Kansas City and I made some, we had tender greens for lunch at the audition and I made some comment about how he said, oh, the salad's really good. I was like, yeah, we're really, Californians have really good produce. I mean, you guys kill us on mayonnaise, but we're good, like on, produce. And somehow the EP at my production company heard that I made that comment and was like, don't disparage the client. Like literally like that one thing I said was like, I shouldn't have said it. Like, so it's,
you got scrutinized.
In that meeting when you're face to face, like being judged, like, let alone judging how you direct actors.
Calm down.
Right. Yeah. You made a mayonnaise joke.
It's like, it's not like about mustard. You can't make a goddamn mayonnaise joke. Yeah. What are we doing here?
But I guess I'm curious from your point of view as a casting director, like you've probably seen directors that say nothing in an audition and directors yes. that say way too much. And I'm wondering sure. like what the sweet spot is to get the best out of actors. Because you probably have seen like some of the best direction given to actors. And the last casting director I worked with, like she was, I thought, really good at directing actors.
Yeah, yeah, so like, you're like, well, I'm not going to say anything.
I would say like 10 sentences and she would be like, yeah, just do it a little louder. And then it would be like perfect.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, again, sometimes it's project specific, you know, like the type of direction and stuff. But at least for the two of us, we often don't want to step on the director's toes. Mm-hmm. And
like, I'll ask permission. I give direction typically like in our sessions.
Yeah.
But I will always ask permission in a producer session if I could mm-hmm. just give them a little something. If I'm hearing them give direction and I feel like the actor understood, but maybe I can see that the actor's not quite understanding what they're trying to get at, mm-hmm. you know, I'll pop in, but I'll always ask permission. But the best directors are the directors that have been actors or are...
Have taken some class.
Or
taken
are married some acting to class,
or who yes. are married yes. to actors.
Yes. Or used to be engineers.
Who have a respect for actors.
Or, yes, those are the best. Yes.
Those I find to be... are the best directors. And
well, do you ever go back to the waiting room and be like, hey, the director keeps giving the same direction yeah. to every actor. Like, sure. maybe come in already with this.
Sometimes.
Aware of it.
Yeah.
Or... This director line reads just...
Oh, just don't be offended.
That's fun.
Try not to be offended by it.
The yeah. heads up, this person's a little quirky. Yeah. Right, yeah. Don't let it throw you.
I've seen some actors be really offended by line reads, and sometimes that's just part of...
The only way that someone knows how to articulate it. Yeah.
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 Have you seen like really good actors have their performances ruined by the director?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I think sometimes people can get over noted mm-hmm. and then get in their head about it.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And then so like in, you know, in TV, you audition, let's say it's a pilot. You come in and read for us in a pre-screen, then there's a producer session, then there's a studio test and then network test. And before those tests, they'll like warm the actor up and be like, "Let's have a work session."
Gosh, I know.
And some actors do well with those, but some mm-hmm. completely fall apart and they're like, "Can I just do what I originally did that you guys all liked?" Like, mm-hmm. ugh, and mm-hmm. they get noted to death and then they fall apart in the test in front of the studio or in front of the network. And
well, and Chrissy's really close to this, right? Because right. of yeah. Tate and how many times he tested before he got Quantico and like just yeah. helping him navigate that.
Yeah.
And that I think the auditioning is a completely separate skill than actually doing it on set
sure.
or, yeah. You know, it's just completely different. So,
completely different.
And taking notes on the fly like that's really hard. And
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.